Amen. Imago Dei means created in the image of God. Y'all can be seated. All right, so Daniel asked a couple weeks ago if I'd be interested in help filling in for him while he was out on vacation, and so I said, yeah, but I tell you, as I prepared this week, and I'm sure Isaiah could attest to this, just gives you more respect for what Daniel does as I was preparing. It's like, man, this guy does this every week, prepares a message and dives into God's word and, you know, to share with the church. So he gave me a topic which I'm very familiar with, the sanctity of human life, since I run a pregnancy resource center ministry. It's kind of naturally things that I know and I'm passionate about. So today, you know, I just want to share Sanctity of Human Life. So originally, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is in January, third Sunday in January. But since, and that was to kind of pray for Roe being overturned, because that's when Roe was set in place. And so, praise God, the Dobbs decision in the Supreme Court overturned Roe 2 years ago. So this past Monday was 2 years since we have been living in a post-Roe world, which as a kid I would have never, I never thought we would see that, but praise God we do see that and we're living in that. So that's just a little history on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, kind of why we celebrate it and what it is. But Dobbs' decision overturned Roe, put all that decisions back into the states. So now the states decide. Uriah, where are you going? Do you want to show everyone who you are? Exactly. So, but yeah, so Sanctity of Human Life. So yeah, we're going to dive into what the Bible says about human life. Nowadays we have Marxism, which is basically you believe what you want to believe and you believe and it's okay, you know, you believe that, but don't tell me what to believe kind of thing. And so that's not true, because truth reigns over everything. And for something, you have to have a moral foundation. So because some people believe it's okay to murder and some say we believe no. So it's like there's got to be a moral foundation. And so our moral foundation is God's holy word. And so we're going to dive into that, what he says in here about life and when it begins and his view on that. So yeah, we're going to read Psalms 139 and then we'll get. So, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make a bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand still leads me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you form my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O man of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malice intent. Your enemy takes your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate those with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my every thought. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So let's just pray. So Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to just share on this passage of life, how you view life, when you view life starts and everything, Lord Jesus. We just pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would come, speak through me, Lord. I don't want to share anything that is not of you. So, Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me. Be with us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. So basically, when does life begin or conception? And so, you know, God knows us even before we were conceived. And that, you know, verse 16 of the passage there says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. So before we were even born, God knew us. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet. You a prophet to the nations. So before we were even born or conceived in our mother's womb, God knew us. He had plans for us. He knows us. Life at conception, this is what our ministry holds when life begins as far as on this world. Okay, thank you. So this is when we believe life begins at conception. And we believe the Bible proves this and is truth. Isaiah read this scripture actually last week, but it says, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So at conception, little science project here. So we have the female, which has egg, and then the male and the sperm, and they come together. And at that very instant is conception. That is what conception is. And at that very moment, that is when we believe God places the spirit and the soul, because we are physical bodies. We have a physical body, but when this physical body dies, I go to a grave and rot and decay, but my spirit and my soul moves on and goes up to heaven. So we are three in one. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Now, at that moment of conception, we as physical beings create a physical body. The sperm and the egg creates a physical body, but sometimes those don't generate into humans because they are not placed with the spirit and the soul. And so God places the spirit in that moment. And it says here, the spirit would return to God who gave it. So at the very moment of conception, there's actually what they call a spark of life. It's called a zinc spark, which scientists can't really prove why it shines as like a light. But in John 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then jumping down to 1 John 9 through 10, it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him." So at that moment of conception, we have this spark of life, which basically is when the egg, once the sperm fertilizes that egg, instantly the egg denies all the other sperm, and instantly it attaches that one. So there's a university, and Brayton's going to show a video. I have a video. And basically, this university, Northwestern University, scientists do it. So they did this for the in vitro technology that we have now. And so they did it as study for that. And so basically, this is a video of, and they have, able to capture the actual moment of conception. So we're going to play this and watch this. So this is the egg here, and that's the moment of conception where it turns to the zinc covers that. But here, watch this. This is an actual human egg at conception. Ain't that awesome? They don't know why there's a light, but we know there's a light. Because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The true light, which gives light to everyone. God places that light in that moment. So that is where life begins. And so this is why we do what we do. This is the moment, this is why we believe in life at conception. You know, so what does the Bible say about children in general? In Psalms 127, which Brandon read this morning, verses 3 and 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of the warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." You know, I often think of the video. I don't know if you guys watch Lord of the Rings, but there's this, I don't even know the guy's name. Aquilius or something. Does anyone know the guy's name? The archer in Lord of the Rings? Legolas, yeah. But the guy's running around, he's just shooting arrows like everywhere. I'm like, where is he getting all his arrows? Like, he just keeps pulling them. I'm like, he's shot, like, how many? I'm like, he's not collecting them. I don't see him collecting them. But he always has one ready to go. And so I think of this, when I read of this, I think of that, and like, how blessed it is that he always has that arrow in the moment of need. But it is a blessing. Kids are a blessing. Matthew 18, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone, great millstone, fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." So there, you know, Jesus called the kids to him. The Bible talks of kids are inheritance, they're a blessing. Our culture has deceived us so much where we view kids as a hindrance or, you know, pain in the butt or whatever it might be. And sometimes they can be, right? Ain't going to lie. Sometimes you're like, all right, kids, come on, get it in order. But ultimately, like, I always like to think, like, in life, the older generation has so much wisdom and perspective. And I often heard them say, man, I wish when I was young, or I wish, you know. And so I always try to, like, whenever I hear that, I try to, like, take that and be like, I need to implement that, because if someone is willing to go through life and that's what they wish they would have done, I should do that or try and heed that advice to be, you know, to do what, it, you know, because it's so valuable having that perspective. And grandparents, they love kids. Like, I love watching my parents, like, love on my kids. And it was like, where was that when I was young? You know, it's like, you just go to the pool. Yeah, let's go. I'm like, what? Now you're just buying them candy. I'm like, come on. Where was that when I was young? But it's like, they have a different standard. But it's like, they love it. And it's like, yeah, I want that love. And that, I feel, is like a biblical love on kids, like having that value, like loving them and cherishing them. Sometimes we just take that so for granted. But our culture is, there's an attack on our kids, you know, like it says, if you cause one of these child's to sin, it would be better for him to be have a millstone around his neck and thrown in the depths of the sea. So there is an attack on our kids, and you know that that is abortion. The abortion industry is coming after our children. So what is an abortion? Abortion is intentionally ending a pregnancy. It's not an easy topic to talk about. You know, the reasons people pursue abortion, sometimes we even as pro-lifers can justify it, like medical diagnosis. We recently had a client come into one of our centers, and she's pregnant, and she was very happy about it. And then a couple weeks later, she found out she had cancer, and she needed to get treatments. And they said, well, you need to terminate the pregnancy until we can treat you. And so she had this hard decision, a medical diagnosis of, like, you know, what to do. Or even a lot of times pregnancy, like in Ireland, I hate this about Ireland, but they claim that they have no Down syndrome babies over there. They're so proud of it, they've cured it. Well, basically their cure is aborting any baby that would have signs of Down syndrome. They encourage them to abort. And so they have a high rate of aborting Down syndrome babies in Ireland, which is not good. They're some of the most happy people in our world. So a medical diagnosis, a lot of times people even will get a diagnosis and their baby will come out perfectly fine. So, like, how many babies are being aborted because of false, you know, diagnosis? Another reason these girls go is they don't think they can be parents. A lot of them are, you know, pretty young, 13, 16, 14, and they don't think they can be a parent, or, I mean, it is a young age to be a parent, but there's options to where they could adopt or other things, or they can be parents. I know of one that she was pregnant at 13, and she seems to be doing very good right now. A lot of these girls, too, that go into these abortion clinics, they're forced by people to get these abortions. So over 75% of girls that go to get an abortion, it's not their free choice or their choice, really. A lot of them are pressured into by either the father saying, get out of my house or get an abortion, or get an abortion or get out of my house. Mother, likewise. Boyfriend say, I'm going to, you know, break up with you if you don't do this. Or a peer, you know, best friend saying, you need to do this. So most of these girls go in, they have someone in their ear telling them, you need to do this, or I'm out of here. You know, some of these girls going in there, they just don't want the baby, and they're very callous people, and they just don't want to do it. A lot of them are so strung out on drugs and addicted to drugs that they don't want to be pregnant because they need to stop taking their drugs, so they choose that. One of the biggest one that we find in the pro-life or the pro-choice movement is rape and incest. A lot of times people say, well, I don't agree with abortion. And I had this week. I was talking to a guy And, you know, it's like Isaiah said, you know, it's hard to sometimes speak up for that truth. Sometimes I was like, I'm just not going to argue with this guy or let go. But God's been challenging more and more. It's like, no, you need to speak up because they don't know really what they're talking about in this situation. And so in the case of rape, you know, we don't ever want to downplay that situation. Like, a rape is a bad situation. And we don't want to ever just say, well, that's only 1%. You know, you don't want to downplay the actual situation of rape. And the rapist should be in prison. That's our response. He should go to jail. Abortion does not remove the rape. It only adds to the pain. So the natural pain of a rape situation is hard, and girl has a lot of emotions in that, but the only thing, it doesn't remove that pain by getting an abortion. All it does is it escalates it and adds extra pain to that situation. Human dignity is not defined by the circumstance of conception. So there's many people who have been born out of these incest rape situations, and they're living today. You know, if I said I was, would that deem me less of valuable for life? Would that, the circumstance of my conception does not give me dignity or not dignity to live my life? In other words, in other scenarios, we do punish. In no other scenarios do we punish a baby for the crime of the father. So we shouldn't punish the baby in this scenario either. So the abortion pill. So I just want, a lot of people don't even know what an abortion is. And I go out to the abortion clinic right up the road here. And a lot of times these escorts, they walk these girls in, they have no clue what they're doing. They don't even know what they're encouraging. But the abortion pill is a two-step process. So you got two pills. The first one, it's called mifepristone, which was actually just in the Supreme Court ballot, and they just okayed it because it was like an FDA thing. But we thought they would maybe ban it, but they didn't, which was a little disappointing, but we're still, you know, working with it. But this pill is called RU486. So I don't know if anyone worked in the restaurant industry, but 86 actually means to like cancel an order, or like say you go to the table and they're like, oh, we don't need the fries. You know, 86 those fries, or 86 means to cancel or delete or get rid of, not needed anymore. And so this pill, mifepristone, is called RU486. I don't know, conspiracy theories out there. I feed you that one there. But, you know, this pill is the first pill that they take. And basically, they take this pill, and a lot of times they'll do it at the abortion clinic, and they access that pill. So they'll take that pill, and what they'll tell them to do is go home, and 24 to 48 hours later, then we're going to take the second pill, mifepristone, and they'll put that in their cheek and let it dissolve. And basically, then after that, they pass the baby. So the first pill, what it does is it blocks progesterone, which is a natural hormone that women create, and that blocks the progesterone. So the baby that's attached to the uterine lining will then eventually detach. So that's how its nutrients and everything. So this blocker of progesterone, the mifepristone, the first pill, basically the 24 hours, the 48-hour process is that baby to slowly detach and starve to death and basically die in that time frame. And then they take the second pill, which causes the contractions, and then they'll pass the baby. And what they recommend is to do this at home in the comfort of their home on a toilet and flush the baby down the drain. So I have here with me this model. So every baby here on this model would be able to be aborted with the pill. So every one of these models would be able to be flushed down the toilet at this abortion clinic. And that's what they would tell them. And they encourage you, obviously, not to look in the toilet, basically, while they do that. And that is not okay. The one hope that we do have in this process is the pill reversal, which is the one sign that I try to always hold up when these girls come out, is many people don't know, but after that first pill they take, a lot of times these girls can feel regret. You know, when they come out of the center, they do feel relieved, like, oh, it's over, I'm done. But then the next day comes and they're like, oh man, what'd I do? Like the regret sinks in. And so if they have the window, so Heartbeat International is a pro-life organization that has a network, and there's a doctor who designed or figured out that if we interject after that first pill and we just initial progesterone to the girl, you know, that it can push that blocker out and basically save the baby. So the abortion reversal pill is basically the progesterone, which is a natural hormone that the girls make, just floods out the abortion pill. But if they call the hotline and they say up to 72 hours, so it's a pretty good window there that if these girls have regret, they can call that number, which is our ministry has a hotline, and that goes right to them, and they can initial them to get the pills and the doctor, get all set up with that. But basically, they need to know that there's an option. A lot of times they don't come out, they don't know that option. And so that's one thing we try to push, is to let them know that there's still another choice and that, you know, they can get out. Like my wife said during prayer requests, the abortion procedures or procedural abortions, they actually just announced on their social media they're going to start that tomorrow. So what that would be is that would be up to a 12-week-old baby, which is, this is a 12-week model, and I have some back there if you want to take one. And our kids, I think, already grabbed a bunch of them. So, but these are a 12-week-old model of what a baby would be like. The unfortunate thing about that procedural abortion is that's done through a suction tube, and they'll usually suck that out of the uterus and dispose of it. So that's not cool, and that's not how God designed it. And that is a life, and that has a soul. And so that is one reason why we are not for it. You know, Heartbeat International survey shows that 4 out of 10 women that get an abortion claim they were regularly attending church at least once a month. That's why we share this. That's why we have Sanctity of Human Life, because we're not out of the game. You know, if we're pressed in a hard situation, we don't know what we'll do. But the more we teach on this, the more we teach our kids about this stuff, the more we can combat it. And, you know, there's a lot of people healing from abortion. And it can be painful to face that healing. But, you know, if you're willing to walk through it, Jesus can restore it. And there's so many people out there walking in shame, anger, regret. I know one girl, she said after she had an abortion, she just turned to drugs. And it was just like, it was a pivot, it was a point in her life, she could tell. Right after her abortion, she just instantly just tried to suppress it with drugs. And that's when she went deeper and deeper into drugs. These girls going in there, they don't want this. No one really wants this. And so I have a heart for them, because there's this one client that I was able to interact with them. They were there. She came with a boyfriend, but as soon as she saw me or whatever, she threw like a sweatshirt over her head, and like you could tell she was contemplating whether to get out or stay in the truck. And her boyfriend got out and went to the other side of the truck. And he was standing there with the door open, you know, facing me too. And I was just like, dude, you know, we have families that are willing to adopt. You know, most people don't realize there is not an issue of adoption for newborn babies. Bethany Christian Services is a Christian adoption agency. Well, I say Christian, but they started. Anyways, I won't go into that. But they say on their homepage that they are not taking newborn people who want to adopt newborns anymore, because their list is so long, and it's not fair to the people who've been on their list. And so they're not taking intakes newborn adoptions. So for every baby that is adopted, you know, newborn baby that's adopted, there's over 65 families that would adopt that baby. There's a lot of families out there that are willing to adopt newborn babies. The foster system and where it goes whack is when they don't want the kids that are already experienced a lot of trauma, and they don't want that in their home, which that needs to change too. So I encourage you to adopt if you do. But yeah, the reason to abort so your kid doesn't have to go to that system is not true. Newborn babies have plenty of families. The mom can pick from profiles, all kinds. It's like a Facebook. You can just go through and pick all kinds of families, find a family that you want, and they can adopt. But these girls, they don't know this, and they're walking around in this depression and anxiety. But this family that was there, and I shared with them about this. I was like, you can adopt, you know, I have families that I want to adopt. And the guy, you know, he was looking at me, and I was like, you guys can be even good parents. I'm like, you can be good parents. And he, like, looked at her and did one of this, like, see, he thinks, yeah. I was like, oh, man. So he wanted it. And I wish at that moment I would have said, you need to put a ring on her finger so she knows you're committed. But I didn't. But I was just trying to encourage them. And unfortunately, they eventually one of the other workers came out and called them in. And so they went in. And when he came out, you know, he looked at me, made eye contact, and just did like one of these head shakes. And I was like, man, I was like, well, the abortion pill reversal, I tried to push him. But I know inside they probably tell him, don't listen to that guy out there because that's not a thing. So I was trying to push it, but he seemed pretty defeated already. But it was just heartbreaking that, you know, he didn't have, you know, just the shame that he had. And just the girl, like, they don't think they have an out. And so it's just really sad to see that. You know, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, maybe you're here and you have experienced abortion, or maybe it's in your family or whatever. You know, Jesus can take that. Like, it's nothing we have to carry, and he will take that from us. And that's the thing, too. I just want to, you know, I can stand on a soapbox a lot of times on the abortion issue, but really what needs to happen is Jesus needs to penetrate these hearts of these people. And so, you know, that's really what needs to happen is having a heart change, having transformed their hearts. And so, you know, Romans 9, and whatever I say today, I just pray that if you don't know Jesus and you're here today, like, take Jesus, because he is the one who can restore you and heal you. Romans 10, 9 through 13 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth of one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today and you never called on the Lord and made him Lord of your life, like, if we make Jesus Lord, repent of our sin and make him Lord of our life, he will transform you and create a new person in you. And that is my heart for you today. That's my heart for all these abortion workers, any girl that goes there, you know, that they would see the hope that they can. You know, I heard two testimonies of a girl who had an abortion, two girls that were raped. One had an abortion and one didn't. And one gave hers for adoption. The girl who had the abortion, she said she had two anniversaries now. And her anniversary was the anniversary of the rape and the anniversary of the abortion. And on the day of the anniversary of her rape, it reminded her of the abortion. And on the anniversary of the abortion, it reminded her of the rape. And she had no hope. But finally, she found hope in Christ. And he made her renew and forgave her of her sins. And she accepted that. But she no longer, she knows that there's healing in that. The other girl who, you know, was in the rape situation, gave her baby to adoption. And she says, you know, she experiences joy when those pictures from the adopted family send her. She has that hope of seeing her son there or whatever. You know, it brings more hope to her. So it's like, we don't want, Jesus can restore both situations, but it's like God can redeem. It's so sad that these girls that believe that lie where they have those two anniversaries, and it doesn't have to be. God will heal them. So in the end, I just want to share a story about a starfish. You know, there was this guy walking along. I don't know if I told this story or not, but there's a guy walking along the beach, and there's thousands of starfish along the sea, and he picking them up, throwing them back in the ocean. And someone came along and said, "Why are you doing that? Like, you can't save them all." And the guy said, well, he picked one up and threw it back in the ocean and said, "This one, it means the world." You know, so if we save one life, and we think we have already had two babies saved at the abortion clinic. But that's why we do what we do, to give God the glory for saving the life of these, to where these kids have an opportunity in life. You know, abortions have happened this week. This week there were kids, you know, flushed down the drain. And, you know, this past year, just seeing a lot of the involvement of the community, I thought there would be a rise, in, you know. And this last year really showed me kind of like how Nazi took over Germany. And just like, it's a slow fade. It just comes in. And right away, we had a lot of people out there like, yeah, we're going to get against this. And now it's kind of drifted and everyone's kind of, you know, whatever. And it just slowly, we just stay silent about some things. And, you know, silence is interpreted as acceptance. And so I want to challenge you guys not to be silent on things. There's a lot of issues in our communities, the LGBTQ, you know, what's going on with that. Different things, but ultimately we need to point them to Christ and that he can change. You know, he is the one reason. Like, we have so many people in our community that don't know Jesus, and there's people dying every day going to hell because they don't know Christ. And, you know, that should weigh on us. We should take that to heart. There's people in all the world, China, you know, millions of people in China. We are such a small population. But I just want to encourage you guys, you know, to ask God what your role in this could be. So let's just pray. Take some time just to reflect on, you know, what is your role to play in this? You know, it's not just the abortion issue, you know, because people, you guys are involved with people every day of your life that don't know Christ. And it's like, we need to be sharing our faith with them because Jesus is the only one who can transform our culture, our nation, and our world. He is the one that he will change people inside out. And so we need to point them to him, and we need to, yeah, we can't just stay stagnant. Like, it's very tempting to just not talk to people about it and just say, yeah, that's what you believe, I'm okay with that, whatever. But it's like, we need to stand up. We need to hold fast to this truth that we know. and not be ashamed of the gospel, but to share it with people. So let's just pray. Just take a moment. Just ask God, what is my role to play? What would you have for me?